Hello everyone, my name is Eberhard Reitluber and I'm the initiator and project manager of the Meant for You Consortium, and I welcome all of you on board of this online event, Social Mentoring and Higher Education in Europe, Best Practice Models to Foster Social Inclusion, which is organized by one of our partners, the University of Girona. Our consortium Mentoring for Social Inclusion, Sharing Knowledge and Building Capacity, or Meant for You for short, is a project of five universities across Europe. We started our work at the end of 2023. Now we are halfway through, and we will launch our website www.socialmentoring.org in a few days from now. So that's where you can also find our contact details and also all of the outputs that we produce. Meant for You works along three main tracks or lines of work. The first one is actually that we're collecting, systematizing, and publishing all available knowledge that's out there on social mentoring, at least in Europe, at least in the five countries that we represent. One output of that is a searchable database and a repository where you can find the literature that we were able to identify and are able possibly also to share. Another main output of this work package is that we will publish the first handbook on social mentoring in Europe in about a year from now, with major articles based on our knowledge search. The second track is that we also try to identify and also produce curricula and training material for training people, students, and practitioners on social mentoring. Therefore, we have an overview of all of the material that has been published up to now and made available in the different countries. And also, we have already delivered a first short course on social mentoring, a kind of model curriculum that can also be used and adapted by future projects. And the third, and that's related to our online meeting today, is actually that we promote community engagement of higher education institutions in social mentoring. That also entails a search of the different activities and projects that we can find in higher education or run by higher education institutions. Also those who actually engage either with their own individuals, the own members of their institution, for example, students, or also with target groups in their respective communities or environments. As I told at the beginning, we are halfway through with the Meant for You project. That's why we're looking ahead for how to continue, how to grow our network and our work. One of the ideas is actually to apply for a so-called COST Action, which is a research network with the title Engagement, or the long form Engaging Research for Social Mentoring in Europe. The submission deadline is 21 October this year. This would allow actually to grow the network to a European or even global scale across a funding period of 4 years. So everybody who's interested in possibly becoming a secondary proposer, or who's interested in possibly joining the network once it's granted the funding, which is then obviously possible, can reach out to us, can reach out to me. This applies to everybody in the academic sector, but also other sectors where social mentoring is present. The other thing is that at my home university, the Bertha von Suttner Private University St. Pölten, which is 30 minutes out of Vienna, we will host the second run of the course, Mentoring for Social Inclusion, introductory course that we already piloted this year in February at the NHL Stenden University of Applied Sciences in the Netherlands. And this second run will be combined with a one-day conference, especially on the topic that we're talking about today, which is social mentoring and higher education. So anybody who is maybe possibly interested to send students or to join this course as a staff can also reach out to me, and then we can get in touch individually. Thanks a lot. And now I will hand over to our partners from Girona who actually prepared this meeting, Ila Prats-Brugat, and also Oscar Prieto Flores, who's leading the project team at the University of Girona.
So I think now. Okay. Great. Can you hear me? Yeah, perfect. Okay, so good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here. Thank you, Evie, for the introduction. I'm Eila Prats-Brugat from the University of Girona in Spain, and I'm going to explain a bit the framework of this webinar, which is based on the results of our work in the research project Mentoring for Social Inclusion in Europe, sharing knowledge and building capacity, as Evie said. Our main objective as a work package four, which is our task, let's say, is to provide a solid basis for higher education institutions across Europe to effectively and specifically engage with different stakeholders in their communities and in social mentoring as an inclusive practice. As an inclusive practice within and outside those institutions, and to foster the social responsibility of universities. To achieve this objective, the five project partner countries, Netherlands, Ireland, Austria, Belgium, and Spain, have mapped some social mentoring projects being developed in this context. The results of this process can be seen in the map I'm going to share with you. I hope it works. Here. Can you see it? Yeah. Okay, so these are our sample. It doesn't mean that there are other projects. It simply means that these were the ones we selected for our sample. From all these projects, we have collected their main characteristics, and we have developed a classification of three models on how European universities engage with communities through social mentoring. And the result is this classification. So we have three typologies. The first one in orange is called higher education institutions led social mentoring. And these types of mentoring programs are organized within and by the universities. This means that mentoring is developed by the institutions itself to support their own students who come from disadvantaged backgrounds. In the analysis sample of this research, we have found nine projects concentrated in Belgium and Austria, as you can see it in the map, in the orange tags. So the second typology is green. This green one is called higher education institutions supported social mentoring for community engagement. And in this case, higher education institutions support mentoring programs, but they are developed by third sector organizations such as NGOs or civil society organizations. In this sense, universities cooperate with them, for example, encouraging student volunteering, and thus mentoring is provided outside the university. So in our sample, we identified 13 projects located in the Netherlands, Belgium, Spain, and Ireland, as you can see it in the green tags. Finally, the third category, which is the blue one, is called higher education institutions lead social mentoring for community engagement, and is composed by the projects jointly run by higher education institutions and local stakeholders, for example, local authorities or NGOs, to address societal needs, no? For example, migrant people inclusion or tackling educational disadvantages. Therefore, higher education institutions jointly run mentoring programs outside the university. And in our sample, we have 12 projects identified in Austria, Spain, Ireland, and the Netherlands, which are the blue ones here in the map. So now we have this panorama or this scenario of the sample. And now I'm going to give the floor to some examples to know more about their own experiences. So we have planned to have three interventions, but we are having problems with one. So for at least for now, we are going to have two interventions. One is Joca Arts, who is from a FEP organization in Spain, and is an example of the green category. And this organization, as she will explain us, runs two mentoring projects in cooperation with the university. So we are going to know more about this typology, but from the point of view of the NGO. Okay, so Joca, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Ayla. Let me just try to share the presentation. You let me know if it's not working. This one. Can you see it?
Yep.
I can see it. Okay. So hi everybody, I'm Joca. I'm at AFEF in Spain. Quickly to explain you what kind of an organization we are. We are a social organization working mostly mentoring and community programs in France since the 90s, in Barcelona, Spain. Since 2008, our main and double goal is to encourage social volunteering for youth and doing that through projects or programs that fight against social and educational exclusion. As Ayla already told you, we have two big mentoring programs. I'll explain it a bit more. They're called Entandem and UniMentor. And then we have a third program, which is called Prometheus, which is a more professionalized project in the sense that there's no volunteering involved. It's a project that aims to democratize the access to higher education. So for our mentoring projects, our first project, Entandem, is a social educational mentoring project that has the main goals to avoid school dropout, foster motivation, reverse unwanted loneliness, and improve emotional well-being for children and teenagers. So what we try in the mentoring relationships is to improve their personal and interpersonal skills, make them have more access to resources and information, practice language, provide them with some academic guidance, and help them to build network and improve their social and physical mobility. So we have about 110 mentoring relationships yearly in low socioeconomic indicated neighborhoods in the Barcelona metropolitan area, mainly in this project. Just to explain you a bit more how the project works, our mentors are young adults between 18 and 13 years old, mainly university or higher education students. Our mentees are children and teenagers between 10 and 16 years old. They meet up weekly for about 2 hours. Our volunteers are trained extensively. There's a 10-hour course before they start the mentoring program with an extensive training around what is mentoring, what are the goals of the relationships, what are the roles and responsibilities, what boundaries does the relationship have, how to set limits to the relationship, and also about social context of the mentees and our organizational values as feminism, anti-racism, etc. All the mentoring relationships are being followed up weekly by a mentoring technician from our organization, and throughout the relationship, there's continuous support. Resources are being provided to the mentors. They're being supported also in how to define the relationship's goals with their mentees, etc. So that's for our first project. The second one, UniMentor, is a bit different. It is social mentoring on university level. So as a university social mentoring project, there's a student mentor that accompanies another student, which is a mentee, throughout the entire academic year when they enter their, mostly when they enter the university, but relationships can and are many times extended throughout their passage through the university. So the idea here is to contribute to the inclusion of these students at university. For the last 5 years, we've had 30 mentoring relationships yearly at more than five universities, also in the Barcelona metropolitan area. So in this project, it's about peer mentoring. So the mentee and mentee are almost the same age and definitely in the same life phase. We implement this project in collaboration with the main public universities, and the relationships are constructed between people that are studying the same academic field. And at the same university, or at least that's our main goal. Sometimes we can't really find the right match. So then what we would do would be to at least look if we can find a mentor at the same university or in a similar academic field. As I said, our mentees are first grade students mostly that are referred to us by or to the project by either community organizations or the university itself. Also in this project, mentors are extensively trained, and we also provide mentee training, so they know very well what to expect from the mentoring relationships. The students meet up fortnightly, and they choose themselves where, so it's not necessarily at the university, they can also meet up outside the university. Follow-up and support is provided by our mentoring technicians, and the volunteering activity is recognized with ECTS credits for the volunteers. So that's the two main projects. What I would like to go in a bit deeper in what the partnership with universities is. So as Ayla explained, so we as a social organization implement the mentoring projects. We do that in close partnership with universities. Even in the Entandem project, the first project I explained to you, although this is a project that is aimed to children and teenagers, our student mentors for us are also a very important public, and we set specific goals in the project to work with them. So what we collaborate mainly on with universities is on student mobilization and sensibilization. So we have agreements with the main universities and other higher education institutions in the Barcelona metropolitan area. We go to their campus, we speak to students, like October, November for us are a very big month. It means we are continuously present on the university campus to promote the project, promote volunteering in general. We know that this project is a project that many young people, that for many young people is their first step in volunteering, and so we think it's very important to create opportunities for that. Our our mobilization, our campaigning does not just finish with trying to find the volunteers for our project, but we are also sensibilizing a lot about about poverty, about educational opportunities, about privilege. We have a lot of our university teachers that even ask us to come into to class and explain about the projects. So that's a really nice interaction there, which actually means that somehow we're also working together with universities to create a curriculum for that goes beyond the mere academic accomplishments. As I said before, our volunteers receive extensive training before they start. And we also have specific workshops throughout the academic year where they can participate if they feel like they want to elaborate their knowledge. So that's a really nice collaboration. Another important thing is that most universities recognize our volunteering program with ECTS free credits. So that means that students can replace up to two ECTS credits if they do the full volunteering circuit with us. The partnerships we have with universities for the UniMentor project, which is a project that we have actually created together with universities, is a bit different because here universities also have a different role apart from helping us and with the campaigning and the sensibilization of young people. They are also directly involved in the to refer students to us, so that makes them more involved in the project. This is a piece where we're working on still. We know it's not easy for universities to identify first year students with socioeconomical difficulties because there's a lot of information that's missing in the first months, but we are having like really nice collaboration. We're thinking together how to make this work, so we're very happy about that. Also in the UniMentor project, I think it's important to mention the implication of the different faculties at the university because it's such a specific mentoring program where we are looking for mentors with a very specific that are studying in a specific degree or a specific academic field. We need a lot of help from faculties, and we are getting that to identify just that one mentor who might have like a very specific degree. So that's been very nice. We've been doing this very closely with the universities now for 2 years, and we are very happy with this collaboration. And then I think the last, item I wanted to mention, but here Ayla and Oscar will be able to tell you a lot more, is that because we are working together with universities on a very practical level, as in we are building mentoring relationships together, it also makes the interest from the universities for mentoring as a methodology grow. And that for us as smaller organizations is very interesting because it means we are also starting to interact to talk about what the academic world can mean for mentoring. And we are always looking for ways to do research, to evaluate our programs, but we don't really have the resources for it. And here, universities can really help us out. So I'm gonna come back to the meeting. Not sure if there's any questions.
Thank you, Joko. If you want, we can let some time at the end of the meeting to share thoughts or to ask questions. So thank you very much for your words and for your explanation. Now, Oscar Prieto Flores from University of Girona will explain us about Proyecto Rossignol, which is Nightingale program, which is one of the two examples that we have today of the second third typology, which is higher education institutions led social mentoring for community engagement. So.
Thank you so much. I don't know if you can see my presentation. Yes. Okay. Thanks. The thing is that what I'm going to present is that Proyecto Rossignol, the Nightingale mentoring program. This mentoring program started in our case in 2005, but the origins of the Nightingale mentoring program are found in Malmö, in Sweden, in 1997, when Carina Lundroth, seeing different mentoring programs for youth in different settings across the world, she decided that higher education institutions, universities, should be places in which they could be actively involved together with municipalities in welcoming newcomers, especially migrant children, reaching or arriving to the city of Malmö and surroundings. So she initiated this typology of mentoring program in 1997. And we at the University of Girona, we met Carina in 1999. And we decided to participate later in a kind of network in order to develop and to adapt, to scale up the initial Malmö Nightingale program into a pilot in our university, in our context. So in the Nightingale mentoring program was born in 2005 here in the University of Girona in collaboration with the city, the municipality of Olot, with only five pairs. So the main aim of this Nightingale mentoring program is that university students are matched with newly arrived children in the schools and high schools, some adolescents as well. It's similar to the program that Joe presented, but especially focused on migrant children. And the idea is the aim of the program is divided in three specific aims. One of them is language acquisition. Another one is sense of belonging to the new context. And also the third one is educational expectations. No? So the newly arrived children to the city, they could see the university as a place to be in the future, no? that through the relationship they are having with their mentors. Mentors are college students from our faculties. No? Initially, we decided to expand this mentoring scheme to other schools at the university, because initially our pilot project was in one city, in Olot, and also in one school or faculty, the School of Education and Psychology, for proximity of the faculty that we are in charge of the program. But as soon as we were sharing this program with our authorities, our rector and vice chancellors at the university, we decided that this should be a project of the university and students that could be engaged as mentors, no? in accompanying migrant children in our schools. Should be people from different faculties, because developing this cultural sensitivity to newcomers and to have this process of mentoring is not only good for future teachers or future social workers, but also it is good for future doctors, nurses, or other type of professionals, that they are engaged in a diverse society. So now the project is expanded. We from these five couples we started in 2005. Now is 200. Next year probably 220 students, and from the university, from our different schools and colleges, and 200 students of the different municipalities. 20 municipalities that are connected to Girona and the University of Girona, schools and high schools that are involved in this kind of network. So it's not been easy for us to establish and to institutionalize this program. No, we have faced a lot of challenges because those who are leading the program at the beginning were Jordi Feu, and then I joined the program 2 years after it was initiated. We are faculty scholars, professors at the university. So we, besides our research projects and teaching and all these things, we were believing in the role of these mentoring programs for the education of our students as well, but also as Karina was envisioning, at the beginning of the Malmo program, the idea that our institutions, and especially higher education institutions, should be involved, actively involved in welcoming migrant children and adolescents in our cities and our communities. So as I was saying, the three aims of the programs are the social use of Catalan language in our context in Catalonia, the language of instructions at the schools is Catalan, only Catalan, although we live in Spain, and the students have Spanish classes, but as another subject, but they learn Spanish, from the natural environment. But Catalan, the language of, is the language of instruction at schools. And also it is very relevant that migrant children that are getting access to our system could have informal ways of support in Catalan language, Because as is a matter of inequality, as the language of structures is Catalan, if they are not mastering Catalan, they're going to have a school dropout more than others, more than native students. So we decided that this should be in a kind of very informal way, because the relationship consists of 8 months of mentoring relationship. It consists of an informal relationship, like a friendship-like relationship in which they have fun, they go for some activities, leisure activities mainly, to discover the city in which they live, some places that are relevant and meaningful for mentors that they want to share with mentees, but also the other side. Mentees are sharing with mentors and college students spaces and places that are meaningful for them. So students, usually middle-class white students, discover places, are discovering places and that they have not been before. And this is a way to sharing this, not only Catalan, as a way of relationship, but also the developing a sense of belonging and intercultural relation between the mentors and the mentees. And the other thing that is relevant, another aim that is relevant that we are trying to promote within the Nightingale Mentoring Program is to promote those educational expectations that are so needed in some migrant children. Not because in the scientific literature in the field, we see that there is the immigrant aspiration that as you are not joining a new society, you will have the expectations to reach, no, like the dream of the new society, to reach to the top, to reach the university. But many of these children and adolescents do not know exactly what the university means, and do not have people in their networks that are in the university, because they are, or they will be, if they get in the university, first generation students. And so for us, it was very important to follow up the steps of Karina Seel in establishing some meaningful conversations during this relationship between the university students and migrant children, like explaining what the university is for students, no, college students. They are embodying this kind of experiences, suffering sometimes, especially in exams, periods of exams, but they are having conversations about what the experience of the university looks like, how they can navigate through this educational system to reach the university. If they drop out, that's not a bad thing, but there are challenges, and maybe they can take other routes and finally end up in the university and so on. No? So these kind of conversations, we are saying that they have to work and they have to establish these conversations with the children, but not in a very structured and goal setting manner. So we have these goals. We share these goals with our mentors, and they know that in a kind of informal way, they have to work, or they have to be sensitive to these three issues or three topics. So what we see is that in the moment in which migrant children and adolescents arrive at our context, there is a lot of need of support, especially emotional support of being accepted to the new context, and also a lot of need in sharing their feelings about school acceptance and the relationship they are having with their peers, you know? The feeling of loneliness, the difficulty and the challenges to establish new friendships in the new context, and so on. So the mentor provides this space of conversation and support, and that's meaningful in this sense. And what we do is basically at the university is providing them to a training, as a joke was commenting in their case, initial training to college students of between 10 and 20 hours, depending on the group of students, of training before starting the program. Then after the training, we have a supervision of using some technological devices, but also two staff members that are doing the follow-up to all the members, all the mentors and all the peers. But also what we have is a very strong collaboration with schools and high schools, but especially with municipalities. So the 20 municipalities that are participating in the Nightingale Mentoring Program, we have one person of contact that we are having usually three meetings during the academic year, one at the beginning, another in the middle, and then another one at the end. And those people of the town and city council are the links and the connections to high schools and the schools in those cities participating in the program. The good thing is that we are not imposing the program. We decided from the beginning that we don't have to sell the program and go to schools or high schools. Just show the program, and then you see that there are a lot of municipalities and people, schools or high schools, that are demanding the need of having mentors and in his school and with their children, because there is the need, and they always say it is important that all the kids in our school that are coming from elsewhere, no, could have this opportunity to have a mentor or someone that can support them during the first years or the first year in the new setting. But the thing is that we don't have we only have 200 spots because it's related to our funding, no, and our possibilities. No, of course we would like to have more. But we have also the possibility to have at least 200 spots and the possibilities to provide this support, such support to these children. No? And of course, we have a lot of challenges, no, because we are a program that are based in the university, of Girona. And of course, these programs can be led and institutionalized within university structures. But there are a lot of challenges to do that, no? And of course, you need political support from the chancellor and vice chancellors of the university, that they see that these programs are very necessary and are core. They are a core value of the university, instead of only focusing on research and other type of things, no? And of course, the social responsibilities is a core value and a mission of the universities of the 21st century. And I think I'm okay with time, and then we can talk about questions in the Q&A section. We can talk about questions and comments about it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Oscar, for sharing your experience with us. And now I'm going to share to give the floor to Molly. Thank you for being here, Molly.
Hello. Thank you for having me. Can you all hear me okay?
Yeah. Perfect.
Thanks. So I'm presenting from Dublin, where this mentoring program takes place, and it's actually quite sunny today, which is rare. Just share my screen if that's okay. So this program, the Community Mentoring Program, it's funded by the Higher Education Authority here in Ireland. So it's a PATH program, and PATH stands for Program for Access to Higher Education. So the aim of this mentoring program, which took place over 6 years from 2018 to 2025, is to help encourage students from underrepresented backgrounds to attend university. And this is done by mentoring. So it's done by pairing adult learners or teenage learners with students who'd come from similar backgrounds as them. So those students in universities return to their communities or perhaps their schools, and they share advice about attending college, and they do activities with the students to try and encourage them to think about continuing their own education. So for the past 2 years, I have coordinated this program, but it's been running for 6 years. And it's also, I work in Trinity College Dublin and the Access Programs. but it's also a coordination between these other universities, which you can see here. So IADT, Marino, NCAD, RCSI, and UCD. And the wonderful thing about this program is there's a big variety of the type of subjects students learn about, because I suppose in Trinity, a lot of students would be studying things like business and arts, but then in colleges like IADT, they might be doing more technical subjects like animation. In RCSI, then there's a focus on healthcare and studying medicine. So by all of these colleges collaborating together, the students learn a lot about different subjects they can study in university. So why mentoring? So this program was established because it had base in research. So Trinity Access programs, where I work, for many, many years, Trinity Access programs has been doing data collection with linked schools. So these are 19 schools in Dublin, and these are in areas where there is a lower progression to third level education. So these, it's been seen that these students need interventions and additional supports to ensure that they have the same opportunities as students from more affluent areas of Dublin. So mentoring was seen to be a really positive intervention with helping students feel more confident in going to college. So you can see some of the things there that come out of mentoring. So it makes students, you know, feel it's good for their well-being. It gives them more confidence. It enhances student-teacher relationships. And then students have more confidence in college success. And also, while this research was established with younger students, so predominantly teenagers, we also have research in Trinity Access programs with mature students, so students who would return to education when they're older. And we also found from research with them and from hearing mature students' experience that often mature students felt maybe they were socialized away from education. Maybe there was no one in their family who had gone to third level, or maybe they weren't encouraged to continue their education. So they felt like they were lacking a role model. And that's kind of what we hope to do with the mentoring program, provide positive role models for students to continue to further or higher education. So, and we specifically were targeting groups. Now this, when I say NAP groups, what the NAP stands for is the National Access Plan. So the National Access Plan is the plan in Ireland to increase participation of students from underrepresented backgrounds. So every couple of years, the HEA here release a national access plan, which kind of lets educators know what the main aims and priorities are for, you know, widening and participation for students to university. So these are the students from priority groups that we targeted in this. And so you can see from across the 6 years there, the amount of mentors we had that came from this group. So we would have had mentors who had a disability, mature student mentors, socioeconomically disadvantaged students, lone parents, ethnic minorities, students from traveler background. So the traveler group in Ireland, that's a group that has a low progression to third level because they face a lot of barriers. And we're doing a lot of work. Colleagues across universities in Ireland are doing a lot of work to better include those groups. And then we can see here that some of the mentors also belong to multiple groups. So a lot of mentors might have a disability and they might also be a mature student, for example, which is great as well, because the more kinds of groups they fall under, then the chances are they will be speaking to more students who also belong to those groups. So I suppose mentoring essentially in this context is, if you can't see it, you can't be it. So it's really positive for students to be mentored by someone they can relate to. So I'll just bring you on a bit of a timeline from how the program ran and some key achievements and also maybe some challenges as well, which will hopefully be helpful. So in 2018, the first year, 750 mentees were impacted, which was brilliant. So 750 students would have taken part in mentoring sessions with undergraduate mentors. Then as we progressed with the program, as I mentioned before, while we'd done research with teenagers, we also had to make sure that we were including perspectives of mature students, because they and adult learners. Because they would also be taking part in the mentoring. So we developed separate resources for adult learners. So the way the programs really ran over the 6 years is that we have mentoring handbooks for our mentors, but then we've two different handbooks for the mentees. So we have one for the secondary school students, so the teenagers, and then one aimed more at adult learners. So the adult learners were developed early on in the program, and that was based on feedback from a focus group with mature students, which was great because they helped us, you know, they kind of, we were able to learn from them what would work best for that group. And then other things that we found improved our mentoring program was like retention. So mentors returning to sessions, continuing with the program, not just mentoring once, but continually mentoring students. What helped with that was online training. So that was something as well, as you'll see as we go on, and we put more of an emphasis on creating digital assets and resources to ensure that the program could be sustained past its funding period, as it officially kind of came to an end this year. But we're hoping it's going to continue now because we've developed resources to support organizations and students to continue mentoring. So. And here we have. So obviously for everyone knows the challenges that came with COVID-19, and it did present a lot of challenges. But one thing that was great about, I suppose, the silver lining of COVID for us was that it made us adapt our resources so that we could make the program more, you know, flexible, that it could be delivered online as well as in person in a classroom. And it also meant we were able to reach more students during COVID, which was great because obviously the time and resources to place an undergraduate mentor in a school or an adult education organization would take time, whereas it's much easier like this now connecting people online. So it meant we could have more sessions, but they had to be online. But we did gather research throughout this program. And the thing that did come across was people do prefer the mentoring sessions in person where possible. So while we moved it online temporarily, it was ultimately decided that where possible, sessions should be in person. But the other positive about moving it online, and this continues now, is it's like predominantly based in Dublin. We want to really target kind of Dublin communities who would benefit from mentoring, but it's since expanded to all over Ireland because now other schools in Ireland can take part. And it's great even in this context being here, students who go in Erasmus, so they'd be studying in European cities, they have actually taken part in mentoring, so they can do a call like this and mentor a school in Dublin from wherever, if they're doing their Erasmus in France or Spain. So that's brilliant. So that's also been a benefit from being able to adapt the resources to be in an online or in-person setting. And then here I have that in the same year, 2020, RCSI, so that's a medicine college in Dublin, they joined the program, and that was really beneficial because medicine's a very challenging course, so students really need help in accessing it, advice around how to get there, especially if maybe they don't have the grades initially to do it. So having students who've gone on to train to be doctors or other healthcare professions who've come from access backgrounds, so have maybe found an alternative entry route into medicine, that's been really helpful to share with students to let them know that they can do that if they want to as well. And then this same year, another model was introduced, and this meant the program kind of expanded. So this was that just in order to encourage sustainability, schools and organizations could recruit their own mentors from their own communities and use our resources and our training. So that meant we could reach even more students. And it also meant sometimes logistically it was much easier. So me as the coordinator and the other coordinators before me, a lot of our job would have been admin timetabling, linking in undergraduate mentors with schools, having emails back and forth to see when suited, all that organization. But this new model meant that schools and organizations, they could actually reach out to people who'd come through their, you know, education systems and ask them to return to the school, which was great. And some of the schools also reached out to local businesses and parents, and that worked really well. But we'll see that later on in the presentation. There's a case study. So, and then we're Yes, so now bringing us up to now where we are. So in 2022, we had had to this point, we'd had over 800 undergraduate mentors. The program had reached over 9,000 mentees in 2023. And then in 2024, online training modules were launched. So these exist on a website we have here called collegeaware.ie. So this means now 24/7, any mentor or organization interested in setting up their own mentoring program can access our modules. And I'll share the link, but it might even be beneficial for people on this call if they want to see, look at our resources. Maybe there'll be some crossover with the resources and the training you're using. They're there for people, you know, to use, and they can be adapted to whatever context. And they've been developed with UDL in mind, which is great. So Universal Design for Learning. So we're hoping they're suitable, and we've seen that they're suitable for non-native English speakers, but also students who might have different learning needs. So and then now up to 2025, the program has reached almost 11,000 students over 6 years, and we've had over 1,500 mentors, which is really significant. And also included in those 1,500 mentors, the majority are undergraduate mentors, but that also includes mentors recruited from the community. So the program really grew by introducing that new model in 2020. So, yes, just so some of the impact in numbers there, as previously mentioned, the amount of mentees have taken part, over 1,000 undergraduate mentors were recruited. And we've been gathering feedback, which I'll share from mentors and mentees throughout the entire program. And overall, across 6 years, so 78% of mentees said they found the sessions useful. And 75% of the mentees also said the sessions made them feel more confident in attending college. And over 400 mentors from the community recruited. And this counties in Leinster hosted mentoring sessions. So Leinster is the province in Ireland where Dublin is. So there's four provinces in Ireland and Leinster where Dublin is. So that was great because it showed the program expanded, not just in Dublin, but in areas outside. And also a big support for schools in more rural areas, because there it's harder for them to kind of connect to universities. So it was great to kind of be able to use the online model to reach schools that weren't as connected to cities or universities as others. And then so we had a huge variety of host organizations like schools, further education colleges, youth groups. And so we have here the 288 took part, but that is counting like schools and organizations that took part across multiple years. So some schools stayed with us throughout the entire 6 years, which was brilliant. But then every year we were recruiting new organizations. So that was also really good. So that's just kind of, this is just a little overview of typically, I've talked a lot about what we achieved, but the kind of logistics of how it ran was usually like this. In September, we would recruit undergraduate mentors. Usually email was the most effective way to do that, but we also would sometimes give talks at university orientation programs, or we'd share on social media. And then by October, we'd ask for the students to have their training completed. And we usually would have a launch event too. So each undergraduate mentor would be given a handbook and a blue hoodie to just kind of create that sense of community. And then they'd be paired with a mentor, often from another university. And then they'd be given a host organization to do their sessions. And they would have their first session during College Awareness Week. So that takes place in November in Ireland. And College Awareness Week is just all about encouraging underrepresented groups to consider their educational options and pathways. So it was brilliant to tie that in with this. And then January to March, they'd have a second mentoring sessions. They'd have check-ins with myself just to see if I could better support them. And we'd prepare them for the next session, get their feedback. And then they'd have their final session before the summer. And then the cycle would begin again. And the great thing was that a lot of like students have fed back about mentoring. They've said that they found it addictive. They really enjoyed it. They found it like it was symbiotic. It was beneficial for them as well. It reminded them of why they'd worked so hard to get to education. And it made them feel proud of like all the barriers they'd overcome to study in university. So a lot of mentors wanted to return each year, which was brilliant. So we'd recruit new mentors every year, but we'd also have returning mentors. So here is where we house all our resources. So we have two modules there. There's becoming a community mentor for anyone who wants to be a mentor themselves. And then there's setting up a community mentoring program. So that's for organizations and schools. And that gives guidance around recruiting mentors and kind of like the benefits of doing the sessions online versus in person. And both of these, once you do these courses, you get a certificate, which is brilliant. And that's been really great for the undergraduate students. So they have a certificate, they have something on their CV, and often they would put me down as a resource, as a reference when they're applying for jobs. And that's great because I can even see that they're working in areas related to social justice and youth work. And this is benefiting them by having that experience. So they're all on our website, collegeaware.ie. And that's like that website would be visited by schools nationwide because College Aware is a nationwide campaign. So it's great as well because it means, you know, the message of mentoring is getting out there and reaching a wider audience. And this is the nice part, just things our mentors have told us about it. So we've three mentors here. And these are quotes from these are anonymous quotes. They're not the mentor's pictures didn't say this, but I hope the smiles in their faces coupled with the very positive quotes kind of give a sense of the kind of rewarding, you know, feeling students got from doing the mentoring. So as we see here, it's one of the most fulfilling things I've done. And I was struck by the intelligence, curiosity and passion of the students. And then this is very important that this person was autistic and they felt like they needed to kind of be that representation they really would have benefited from when they were in school. And then we also, again, like that word comes up again, that it was a very rewarding experience. And really that the sharing of information, so they'd be sharing information about financial support for universities, supports you get in college, also just demystifying college, making college seem less scary, because a lot of students who take part in the mentoring, they would be from, they might be the first in their family to go to college. And it's very hard to be the first person to do something and to do like to step into the unknown. So the mentors are there to help them with that. And then we also have feedback from our mentees. So just showing how much they've got out of the session. So here we have, no matter what your dream is, you should keep going. If you don't get enough points, so that I suppose in the Irish context, if you don't get enough, like the highest grades, you can still do come back to it, believe in yourself and never give up. And then this person, I've spent so much time being scared to research colleges because I keep thinking, what if I'm not smart enough or what if I can't do it? But now I know that once I work hard, I can achieve anything. So, and then that picture is an early year in the program is all the mentors who've signed up to do the program. And it's great because you can see a variety there of like ages and gender, which is really good as well. There's a lovely mix of mentors there. And this is just a case study about one of our schools that have taken part since 2022. And they do kind of a blended model where they host undergraduate mentors, but then they also recruit mentors from business organizations. And they found that really beneficial. And the school have also said to me that mentoring is a great way to forge a relationship with the business. And then the business can offer work experience to the students or maybe take part in other school events like career fairs. And so even it's great to see that the mentors who are like further along in their education and their careers also find the mentoring to be really fulfilling. So and they said they found the conversation with the young adults inspiring. So that's a great. And this the reason we highlight this school is because they're an example of that. The mentoring can continue past, you know, even when this current model has changed, there's no longer a coordinator, but the resources are there and schools are aware of it. So there's no reason they can't tap into their you know, network of alumni and businesses in the surrounding areas and continue the mentoring. So yeah, just some key learnings before I wrap up. So hopefully it's come across, but positive outcomes for mentees, that was the main reason the program was developed, to try and give them that, you know, guidance, role model, skill development and confidence building, and positive outcomes for mentors. So they get those skills, the experience and the confidence building, which is also important when we're thinking of supporting undergraduate students who are from access backgrounds, because they need, you know, they might need those additional things because they're not, might not have had the same opportunities as peers from more affluent areas. Widening participation. So the way we've tried to design it is that it's an inclusive design and it reaches diverse students and mentors in various settings. Like recently, last November, we actually had our mentors give, they did a mentoring session with asylum seekers and refugees who were having conversation classes. So that just really showed that the resources and the training could be adapted to suit like people with not the, not an advanced level of English, but it could still be used and kind of help them learn more about the Irish education system and hopefully help their confidence in continuing their education in a new country. So that was brilliant and kind of a good example of how adaptable the program is. And then the sustainability. So developing the online resources and local mentor training and ensure the program's long-term viability and widespread reach. So yes, so training your own mentors who are in your local area, if you're a school or an organization, means the program can continue. And then, yes, so mainstream mentoring, why it's important to include it. So in our case, including it in College Awareness Week every November, because it significantly improves access students' competence, knowledge and their aspirations to continue their education. And then just some final learnings here. So yes, our shared resources. So sharing mentor recruitment and training resources maximizes participation and benefits host organizations. So we saw that with our case study. Diverse delivery methods, as mentioned a lot, online and in person, but a preference for in-person sessions. Community engagement, again, kind of the flexibility of the program, it can reach schools, universities, parents. So it's like the opportunities for collaboration really are endless. And diversity of mentors. So that can be challenging. You know, undergraduate mentors are very busy with their exams and assignments. Also, if we're talking about mentors who are coming from, access backgrounds, often they do have to work. They have a lot of, responsibilities and things like that. So often it can be challenging, but it's definitely crucial because the students really benefit from seeing students like themselves. And effective scheduling, with advanced planning, is essential for logistical success, because that's a big thing as well, I would say, and I'm sure a lot of people here know from their own programs, but you save a lot of time once you have your dates for mentoring set out in advance, but it can be challenging because often students, their timetables change or they have to go on placement, so you just have to adapt, I suppose, to the student. And then so as well, this quite a simple one, but utilizing pre-existing relationships and local HEI mentors. So as mentioned, again, trying to recruit from your local community, but in this context as well, trying to tap into mentors who'd be in a college closer to the school. So the great thing is that we'd have a big choice of colleges and undergraduate mentors. So if mentors were coming from a college in one area of Dublin, it would be, ideal to mentor that, to pair them with a school nearer to them or a school nearer to where they're living. So things like that really should be taken into account. I suppose geography is quite important when you're thinking of this. And then the last slide is just a big thank you for listening. And these are all our wonderful mentors across the 6 years. So if anyone has any questions at the end, but I'll just end it there. So thanks so much.
Thank you. So what we are going to do is just to stop the recording now, so we can start this second session of Q&As and comments and share other experiences. So we can start now while Eli is stopping the recording.